Hi, y'all. I'm Julie.
Hi there. I'm Brenda. Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side.
Now, y'all need to know that we're obsessed with everything on the other side.
Yes, we are. Because once you learn to navigate the energetic, or to some, the invisible world, life is going to be more fun and much more serene.
Heck yes, it can. Because let's be honest. Bryn, Earth School is hard. In fact, you taught me that.
Let's crush Earth School together.
Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, my witchy poo. How are you?
Hello, my elf. It's great to be with you again.
Oh, it's always good to be with you.
Looking forward to our conversation today.
Okay, well, this might be one of my favorite titles because I love when we title episodes.
And okay, by we, you mean you.
But you've changed some. I mean, fair, you've had a few. But yeah, okay, yeah, I love it. It's like a creative outlet for me.
I know. It's a play thing.
It is total a play thing. And when we were talking about what should we call this episode, we were going to call it Julie the Fool, which makes all the sense in the world. But then then last night, I'm like, why don't we call it My Elf the Fool? And for those who are familiar at all with the beauty of Tarot, the Fool card is the first card in the deck.
The Fool card has a big fat zero on it.
And it has a big job.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to talk about that today, too, in context, of course.
And the context, of course, is why I'm so excited to talk about. First of all, I always love talking about Tarot. And today, the Fool is a great celebration. So we are congratulating you and celebrating you at this expansive threshold. Tell us about your Fool journey.
Oh, witchy poo, thank you so much. I was just asked a few weeks ago to be the CEO of an entertainment tech startup.
Yay! This is huge.
This is massive.
Really exciting.
Yeah, I even bought a keto cake to celebrate because I've learned one of my many lessons in life is that as a kid, you know, and we've talked about this in prior episodes, but those that haven't heard it, is that I've had an issue in my life celebrating things because anytime something good would happen as a kid, my stepdad would be a dick. So I just stopped celebrating really great things. So as I have grown and gone through this journey of mine, I'm learning to celebrate. So we have this really great bakery called Briar Rose that makes keto desserts. And so we bought a keto cake to celebrate.
I just have really good keto cake recipes I'll share with you too.
Oh, please do. A peanut butter one I'd really appreciate. This one's a chocolate one. There's a peanut butter one, it'd be great.
I have some peanut butter cups that I can send your way that are really, really good. That's David's, one of David's favorites. But,
sorry, everybody. We just had to get that out of the way.
Maya, feel free to edit that out.
Or not.
She won't.
Or not. Or not, Maya. You can just keep it. It's all up to you. You can like let everybody just hear our side talk. But my new job is being a CEO, and I have never been a CEO before.
And that's what the Fool card says, right?
Exactly.
So the thing about the Fool card, because people in general are not fond of being called a fool. So remember, Tarot, we talked about it before, has, you know, unknown origins. It was in France, it was in Italy, it was in Egypt, and it was all those places. But the Fool is really as in naivete. It is an unknown territory. I've never been here before. So I have no way of knowing this terrain. And what happens is when you can embrace and be supported by the energy of the Fool card, anxiety goes down because most people get offended. Like, you call me a fool? They get really defensive and, you know, it gets messy fast. But it actually gives you a hall pass that says, be a student. Learn, ask for support, ask for guidance, ask for navigation. And typically in the image of the Tarot card, the Fool is holding a little, you know, a little travel bag, has a trusted companion with it, because it says you can't navigate this territory without some support. And you're moving into another universe, you're moving into an unknown domain. And it's okay to trust what you know and to ask for what you don't. And the whole thing is like, as I jump into this new role, because you have to feel like, like, because there's no dialing up CEO, because one day you're a CEO or one day you're not a CEO and the next day you are. Like, right. there's not necessarily a glide path. They're like, oh, thank God, we need a CEO. What are we going to do? And all of a sudden you're like, I don't know. I just got here a minute ago.
Right.
It's when you jump in, you have to know that the ground will rise up to support you or you will be taught to fly. Like, this is what happens when you step into that sacred space and you really embrace it.
Which is, I love about how the Fool is illustrated. So, you know, this is what you love, and you shared that love with me about Tarot is, you know, you see things in pictures. You know, when people say pictures worth a thousand words, well, correct. And that's why it's so powerful. And I don't know if everybody knows, but Brenda has created her own Tarot deck. In fact, that's how I learned, because I learned from you. So I only really know how to read your cards.
If you can read one deck, you can read them all.
Well, it's true, but I still love yours because you did them, and I can feel your energy in them. And so I love that. But I also kind of collect them because I think it's an interesting thing to collect. And one that I found, it's been out of print for a really long time, and it's the Mythic Tarot. And it's actually, the deck was printed in the UK.
The original printing. You have the original printing. Yeah. There's an updated version that sadly is computer generated. It all has harsh angles, and it's not like the original one was hand drawn. It was beautiful.
It was hand drawn, and it has like rounded edges, you know.
Yeah,
but this beautiful Fool, what's so interesting and what I love about it is, for one, is it's really funny because the person who's illustrated on it looks like they're wearing caveman clothes, and that just makes me giggle. But you see him or her. That's what I like about Tarot. Can't tell.
Not necessary.
It's not necessary. With one foot over a cliff, like, you could see where the earth drops.
Right.
Because that's what it feels like when you start something
just
new.
Just moved out from underneath you, yeah.
And when you can identify, and what I love so much about everything that we talk about, because, you know, it's all so much about life. It's not about escaping it. It's about life. It's about embracing it, and learning. And so it sounds silly, but I identify so many different things that are happening in my life with the cards. And it's a handy thing because, well, it's real handy.
It's so handy.
Because when I took this job, I knew, and me, I'm like, okay, I am the Fool. I am going to go down a path that I have not gone down before. There's different aspects of it that I've done before. You know, I've actually developed proprietary tech tools for the entertainment space. But one thing I haven't done, because what's really cool about the product is the company is called Viewniverse, but the product is going to be called View, V-U, and it is the channel guide to the streaming universe, because it doesn't exist right now.
So brilliant.
And so, right? It's so simple and so brilliant. And then the other layer of it that we'll eventually be launching is recommendation engine based on you, which I think is very powerful too, because there's, you know, the history of film and television are now accessible to people through their streaming services. And to navigate through it, to find out what you like and not to waste your time, we're going to be providing those services and tools. I've never been involved in a consumer-facing product like this. That's new for me. You know, when I worked at Fox, we were disintermediated from our customers because of movie theaters, right? They're the ones who had the relationship with the customer. We, the studio, did not. So there's a lot of new things to it, because the one thing I know is I'm going down a path that I don't know.
So helpful, right? So helpful to know it's okay. And I love that you're willing to bring the expertise that you own that will make you so valuable in this role and embrace what you don't.
Correct.
Right? That's a beautiful skill.
Totally
not
embrace
easy,
what I don't.
You know, needle to thread, but yeah, it's really good.
And so that's actually what I did. My first move was identifying what we still need.
No, that's great.
And being very clear about it, because there are aspects, obviously, I can do. Otherwise, I wouldn't be, you know, in the role, nor would I take something that was completely foreign. It's just a little foreign. But what's so nice is that I go and seek help. And I'm not ashamed of it. Put my ego to the side.
The Fool needs guides.
The Fool needs guides.
Mentors and supporters, yeah.
The Fool needs guides, because otherwise, that's ego. And it's trying to feel like all the dark sides of our ego where, you know, because I've seen it happen.
We've all been around and we've all done that Fool move in foolish fool.
A foolish fool. Say that 10
which
times.
Means we try and make it work when it's just not going to. We do face plans. We get humbled. It's painful. It's painful to be around it. It's painful to do it.
So, right.
And we are going to talk more about the Fool's journey when we come back.
I'm John Horn, host of the podcast Hollywood the Sequel. On every episode, we're challenging producers, actors, and directors to tell us what's broken in Hollywood and how they'd fix it. Here's producer Ava DuVernay on ending systemic racism.
A check is not enough. A statement is not enough. One black executive is not enough. Two is not enough. Your company must look like the real world.
And we're tackling other problems, like keeping everybody safe on set and fixing Hollywood's broken gig economy. Here's Mulan producer Jason Reed.
The financial pressure to do less with more in terms of days, running a crew 12 to 14 hours, 6 days a week, wasn't a sustainable model before, and it's definitely not a sustainable model now.
Listen to Hollywood the Sequel on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody. We are we're talking about The Fool. And so some weird thing I like
my
to say
alphas
that.
Absolutely live in The Fool card, but I mean, so that's what we put on the title, but let's face it, we are all living The Fool card right now, because we, and you know, there's a very small part of the population that across the world who lived through the quote unquote Spanish flu, right? People remember of people who lived through the Spanish flu, but most of us don't have any experience in living through a global pandemic before. So we are navigating uncharted territory. We have more information than being completely brand new, but we don't seem to be, you know, having enough information to be successful in navigating this pandemic. It is kicking our butts here in the U.S. specifically. And it's painful. And you, again, have to be compassionate with yourself and others as we try to do our best. And things are blowing up left and right, both in hot spots and tempers and stress levels, and mental health is crashing all over the place, just whether it's through isolation or just the stress factor, or not being able to grieve in groups. There's all kinds of things that are pushing us into territories we don't know and aren't comfortable with.
Or the ability to financially support yourself and or your family. I mean, that's right? That's a big one that's going on.
Yeah.
Talk about a worldwide lesson.
Yeah, a reset.
A reset. But it is truly being in that fool's position. And, you know, and you're right. Like, it's that all of these lessons, all of our lessons, you know, the ones we've been talking about lately, they're hard, right? Whether they're the personal level ones, like when, you know, we talked about Guy Building Next Door, that was a really emotional lesson for me. And I have a feeling that what's layered on that for both me and the guy that's building next door is all of this, right?
There's no doubt, because I was even thinking while you were telling that story in our last episode, I remember thinking, your life right now, for the last year, has been more zen and less complicated because you weren't going to work every day. So, like, you create and choose where you up your stress or where you're willing to step in. And all of a sudden, you have this outside influence that you can't control and don't know how to navigate. You didn't even know what hours he was working, you know?
Right. Like,
you know, and so it felt like really big, where before, if you had been going to work every day, you may not even noticed him, and your paths may have never even crossed, right? So much is just so different right now.
Because I thought about that, Bryn. I thought about the fact, because like the fool card we're living is trying, you know, many of us, not all of us, because some people are required to work outside the home during this pandemic.
Right.
You know, with what I do, I have the luxury and the safety of actually being at home.
Right.
But it also, so it makes your home, it's also my office.
Right.
You know, it's my sanctuary and it's my work space. And so it makes the home even, you know, more important, because I'm not getting out. And I was thinking what this would have been like if we still lived in LA.
Would have been very different.
Very different. And also no construction, because nobody's building. I mean, all the space is built. So it's like there's like nobody's clearing trees. There's no trees to clear. So it's like such a different level of The Fool.
Right.
For me.
Exactly. And even, you know, as we head into the fool territory of reestablishing social justice, right? We're in the conversations of police departments going away and how exciting that is. And it's wide open space and we get to recreate. And it's terrifying, because what if there's no police, or people stop calling the police, or the police stop coming? So it's the fool on either side of the argument. Like, well, how is this going to unfold? And it hits people's safety and security on both sides of that argument. So it triggers us in this way that says, we get to navigate this. We get to learn. And when we are in spaces where it's wide open, it gets supercharged because people get convicted to what's necessary and what's right. And it's wide open. We don't know if it's right. So there's no actual, like, is this going to work here? Maybe it works someplace else, but will this work here? So it feels very unknown, and that creates greater stress and greater discomfort, and people will either double down or pull back. And so there's even tension as we're trying to navigate and figure this out together. There's just a lot of supercharged energy in the air with the uncertainty. And when people get really certain, that also makes people uncomfortable.
Well, let's travel back for a moment to our chakra series or Chakra Con series. Again, titles. I love a good title, because everything that we're talking about is all sitting in that first chakra.
Well, first and second, yeah.
Yes, and the second for sure. But there's that fight or flight.
And survival.
And survival is
we're talking about survival here, right? We're talking about survival. And that first chakra in the first layer just hits the physicality of us. So the stress we hold in our bodies. So even when we go back to our last episode, when your lead construction worker turned his back on you, I mean, he embodied this. I can't do this. I'm not doing this. I'm sure you saw stress in his body. There's no doubt.
Yeah,
I did. It's unknown territory. Maybe I've never had someone approach me like this before. Like, I feel like I'm being called on the carpet. It gets supercharged. And so we have to stay connected into our own hearts to feel, what feels right for me to navigate? What level of engagement is true and right for me and safe, right? Because again, between the pandemic and the social injustice, that first chakra is really getting hit hard.
I see it all over. I think it's getting obliterated in many ways with people, and they're staying in it.
Yeah. And the second chakra, of course, includes finances. So that's why I included the second chakra.
Right.
And the emotional extremes. So that's the second chakra as well.
And so we have to make the decision. So like, this is where we are created in the way that we are. Like, we have these seven chakras in our body. There are things that are for humans to survive. You know, this has been created thousands and thousands of years ago for us. But we also have the ability to use critical thinking, because that's why we have to like look at ourselves and be like, okay, is this a healthy way for me to move through this? And sometimes, by the way, the first chakra is there for a reason. It's there to protect us.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're actually truly not in threat for your life, like, you know, then you're like, okay, what's happening here? How can I start working this through?
And I do think, you know, critical reasoning is super helpful, but you also have to marry both the critical thinking and the emotional field, because the emotional field is really where the guidance gives you the go ahead for action or stay put, you're not done yet.
Well, I think the critical thinking part for me is just being able to identify
what's going on.
Yeah, I think that is what it is. It's like, what's going on? Just like that song, my theme song.
What's going on?
It's called What's Up?
What's really going on? And it's the layer of what's going on. No. This is the surface what's going on. What's really going on underneath the surface?
Right.
And that will be the second chakra. What's really going on here?
And the best advice that I have ever had in my life that truly changed how I operate and look at the world, of course, came from you. And you had asked me one time, you said, well, what are you afraid of? And I'm like, I don't know. Or you said, what's the worst thing that could happen? I'm like, I die. And you said, you'll be back. And I'm like, oh God, you're right. Well, but it took so much pressure off, right? Yeah, it took so much like, oh, I get it. Yeah. So really, I'm not really afraid of anything. I see. Okay.
It can be a game changer.
It's that alone. Like, there are different things in my life I can pinpoint about things that have happened that have completely and utterly shifted my trajectory. And that shifted it. And so I offer to everyone to sit with that for a moment, because for me, at least, it was very helpful.
And speaking of being back, we'll be right back after this break.
Grief, woman.
Welcome back. And we're talking about the fool's journey. And the thing about the fool that's so enticing is when the fool shows up in a reading, people are like, once they get over being called a fool, they get over like, what? this sounds like a really great opportunity. What happens if I miss it? What do I have to do to make sure this happens? And the fool is so powerful, you can't really miss it. Because it says something has changed. Something in your environment is about to change completely. I have one short example, and then I think you have a even more relatable example. When I worked at the headquarters of Procter & Gamble, I was consistently getting the flu in my spreads for my doing reading for myself. You know, I always went to the worst case scenario. They're going to fire me. They're going to fire me. I'm going to get fired. And there was no reason for me to get fired. I'm like, something big is going to change. I couldn't think of anything else that would be that big. And so what happened is that they were reconfiguring the floor, and someone came to me one day and said, do you want to sit with your functional boss or do you want to sit with your business team? And I said, well, why are you asking? And he said, because we don't have enough space on the floor. I said, are you telling me, and I'm trying to figure out where everyone goes. And I said, are you telling me you don't have enough space on the floor and you really probably could use another seat right on the floor? And he said, yeah. I said, so I'll work from home. I'm 10 minutes from downtown. I'll work from home. He's like, oh, that'd be great. So, you know, he was just excited to have another seat on the floor. And that was a game changer for me, because when I worked from home, I could actually settle down, because it was so nerve-wracking for me to work in the office, and I could start taking tarot readings at noon.
So, oh my God, I love it. I love you so much.
So it literally changed my life in the best way.
So for you, you look at those situations and you have made really good decisions in that full moment. I have not. Naturally. I think my job is just to screw everything up and then get it right and then tell everybody about it. But
well, in general, people don't like change. And this is just one another reason why I like tarot, because I knew the fool was coming. So when it came, I was like, oh, this could be it.
Exactly. People don't like change. And I think this happens on the family level. So think about all the divorce that happens specifically in this country. I don't know the statistics for other countries, but it's, you know, pretty high here. And in many cases, they have children. Mm-hmm. And so they are entering into full territory. And, you know, a lot want it the way that it was. You know, when you said, you know, when you're in the tower card, it's when somebody says, I can't wait for it to get back to normal. And I think that's another way that you know you're in the fool too, is like, wait a minute, I wanted to go back the way that it was. So I think it happens in families. And I think it is so important to acknowledge, if that big change is happening in your life, to acknowledge that everybody's going down a new path and to apply all of the great advice that you have that the fool, you know, shares with us.
Unless you grew up in my family. And I was like, Mom, if you don't divorce him, I will. That's what I told her. As a high school student.
That's amazing. I know. Because you wanted to go down a different road.
I was
right?
Like, this path is not working for me.
Yeah, this is not working. So let's go carve a new one.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it also happens at times when you don't really know that you're in a full place. Like, this has happened to me a number of times, where if I've been at a company for a certain amount of time and then they bring in a new boss.
This is huge.
And everybody, and I've watched this happen so many times, and I watched myself go through it, and I had really valuable lessons that came out of it that I experienced, where everybody resists. They come into it. The ones who are there come into it with, well, I've done this and I've done that. Well, guess what? You got a new boss. You have to reestablish credibility. And that's the part that is so hard for people. It's like, well, wait, I have credibility. I have these things. Like, well, not with this person, and they are now in charge.
And that's the fool's journey. It is a new world.
You just
got pushed off a cliff, even if you weren't walking in that direction.
Exactly, because sometimes you are just pushed off the cliff. And
sometimes you are.
And I had that happen to me within the last decade. And I remember fighting. But then I remember when I realized what was happening, what I needed to do is I actually went into this, who at that time was no longer a new boss, and I sat down and I said to him, I said, you know, I got to talk to you. He's like, what's that? And I said, you know, I just need to tell you kind of where I am. And I said, my misery since you've been here was brought on by me, not by you. And I said, because what I had done before you was they let me spread my wings. I did more than just what my job title was. And I loved it. I was a part of something bigger. And I said, and then you came in, and then I felt like I was in a box. And I said, so all I've done for the last 8 months is kick and scream inside this box and trying to kick the windows out and the doors out. And then I realized that I was on a different journey. And then I got comfortable in this place where I was, because this wasn't up to me. I was effectively pushed off the cliff. So I had to find my way. It's understanding the fool card in so many aspects is so important, whether it is you get a fancy new CEO title that you've never had before, or you have a new boss that comes in. Thank you. Or you have a new boss that comes in, you know, or
who put you in a box.
Or they put you in a box. And by the way, he had every right to do it. Yeah, because that's and it wasn't, and I knew it wasn't me, and I never took it personal. And interestingly enough, as sensitive as I am, I never took it personal because he did it to everyone. It was his way of working, and he was great at his job. So it's not a criticism to him at all. It was I owned that.
It was still new for you.
It was new for me. And what's interesting is that when I went to him with that, because I went in like hat in hand, so to speak, in a very vulnerable place, is that when I told him, like, you know, man, I own this, and I apologized for being kind of a pain in the ass. And he went in and he started sharing that he's been struggling with the same thing with his management, right? So it's like he was living it too. And then from that moment on, we got along like brother and sister. So we had like spatty thing shorthand about us, but got along so incredibly well. Like it shifted everything.
Right. And this is why we love Brené Brown's work. Owning your vulnerability, showing your vulnerability is the superpower.
It is totally our superpower.
Right. We bond through our wounds, not through our perfection. And we always try and show our perfection.
But that fool card shows up everywhere though, Brynn.
It does.
I mean, it does. In fact, as we're talking, I'm like, well, son of a bitch. I mean, it just happened. It has happened in every part of life. Again, family, work, relationships, all of that.
Oh, yeah.
It shows up like that. So to acknowledge when something new is happening and heeding the advice from the card and my witchy poo, and which you might want to remind everybody what those things are again, but it will help you.
Again, the full card just says you don't have to know. It's not expected of you to know. Please ask for help. You know, I'm just wrapping up my Working with Your Spirit Guides class. And, you know, so I've got, you know, 20 some people on the screen in our virtual room. And one person said, we're in the class for 4 weeks. And she's like, I'm just getting comfortable, you know, feeling the softness, the small shift of energy. I'm just now getting comfortable with like, oh, that's my guide. That's like a thing I wanted. I thought it was going to come, you know, in a FedEx bullet point kind of answer, but it's just that smallest little softness. And then someone else in the room said, you know, I've never thought that I would know how to do this. So I didn't have any expectations of myself. Like, you know, one went in thinking I should know how to do this. I've been meditating for years and blah, 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 blah. And the other one, I've been meditating for years, but I never thought, why would I know how to do this? Like the other one really embraced the lesson of the Fool card in this best way that said, I'm in on a new adventure. I'm going to give myself permission to be a learner.
Yes.
Like I'm going to lead with the vulnerability. So information has a chance to flow in. Right. And even a couple episodes ago, we talked about this with my dad when, you know, I checked in with him after he jumped the planet that evening. And he said that was what he could never do. He could never let himself be vulnerable to learn more. And, you know, so this, it's a quite high stake when we don't embrace the Fool card.
And we stunt ourselves. If we don't, we short
our whole life. We short the whole world and what we could have brought.
And now more than ever is our time that we not only, you know, are given the opportunity to work on these things inside of ourselves and look at ourselves, like, what are we starting? Where are we? But we are all, like you said, we are all naive and navigating through literally the world now, right? Navigating through a pandemic, navigating through
resetting our justice system,
right?
And we're in election year.
And I'm a CEO. Come the hell on. It's like, how many more damn Fool cards do I need to do? Why don't we just pick up and move now? I mean, why don't we do that again and start that Fool card on that? Because it's crazy. Too many.
I suggest not.
No, I suggest not as well.
So that is my Elf the Fool and inviting us all in to a space of renewal.
Yes.
So remember, as you go on the Fool's journey, it can actually be very hard because Earth School is hard.
And I actually add Earth School is hard. I put an AF at the end of it. Earth School is hard as fuck without the other side. You're welcome.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, everyone. And a special thanks to our producer, Maya Cole, who guides us while we guide you.
Hit us up on Instagram at Other Side Guides or shoot us a note at othersideguides@iheartradio.com. And you can even call us at 833-22-GUIDE to leave us a message.
We want to know what you think. We want to know what you know. And we want to hear your stories.
And remember,
Earth School is hard
without the other side.
Insider's Guide to the Other Side is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Devin Leary.
And I'm Carolina Barlow.
And we're here to tell you to dump him.
Break up with your boyfriend.
And we want you to listen to our podcast, True Romance, every week, where we talk about our love lives and the love lives of others.
Please join our exes, who we know will also be listening, like Kyle. Kyle, are you there? Hey, babe, how's life? No, you look good, though. Me? Oh, my God, stop. Please, I haven't even gotten a haircut in like 3 months.
Okay, please help us pay for Carolina's psychiatrist bills by listening on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. I want true romance.
Everybody has a podcast now, right? Every celebrity, everyone you knew in college. There are literally hundreds of thousands of podcasts out there. And yeah, it's a bit of a mess. I'm Nick Kwa, and my new show, Servant of Pod, will give you the most interesting and important stories in podcasting. And I'll tell you why you should care. Listen to Servant of Pod on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.